You're listening to The Mongol Show. Welcome to this week's show. Matt Mongol, Brian Kluger here with you as always, bringing you great stuff. And I'm excited about today. First of all, we showed up wearing matching colored shirts. They're not the same shirt, but we're both dressed in red today, which I think is a good sign.
Are you wearing a Harry Potter shirt?
I am. It's my Nimbus 2000 shirt.
Yes, it's good.
And I hate it to you that just the fact that you know what a Nimbus 2000 is. I didn't have to explain to you that it's a Harry Potter shirt. You knew that. That's good.
Because I've seen and read Harry Potter before.
I know, but some people didn't go that far into Quidditch to know what a Nimbus 2000 was.
Do you play Quidditch?
I do not. Not since my last broom short-circuited.
Oh, my God, nerd.
But I do have an owl that I send messages to my wife with.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, I can talk about Harry Potter all day. But as always, we're going to have other information. Movies releasing this weekend, Blu-ray news, going to talk about some tech talk, other stuff going on, some really interesting things happening on the set of Tom Cruise's new movie, and we're going to talk about that and a bunch more. Plus, per Brian's contract, wrestling.
Wrestling, SummerSlam.
I know, but I get even this week because I get to talk about Project Runway. So
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, he doesn't cut me off. He's like, oh, speaking of Project Runway, did you know on SummerSlam? I keep changing the subject.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well, as always, start with the weekend recap. Anything on the box office that surprised you?
I mean, I think we both knew that the horror movie Annabelle Creation was going to do very well. It's funny that the Nut Job 2 came in third place to something that's been out for over a month. And even funnier than that, The Dark Tower, which has only been out for a couple weeks. Man, that bombed completely. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the fact that Nut Job 2 beat out Dark Tower on its second week and The Glass Castle, which...
I was just about to ask that. It's like, your favorite movie, The Glass Castle, did poorly, sir.
I know, and it was such a great movie. Everybody's already pegging Woody Harrelson for an Oscar nomination based on Jeanette Wall's book, and it came in a miserable number 9 at $4.7 million.
I am not surprised.
Girls Trip, and Nut Job 2 all beat The Glass Castle.
The Glass Castle is a dumb title, and the poster's dumb, the trailer's dumb, might be good. It just, nobody wants to see a movie called The Glass Castle.
You're profiling right now. You're hating on it and don't even know anything about it. It's a really good movie. So anyway, yeah, Annabelle Creation, no surprise it was number one. That I'm not surprised about. I'm just surprised. The fact, I guess I'm most surprised about The Glass Castle. Everything else on there, I'd be like, I could see that, but that's the only thing. So
It is funny that an animated sequel of a movie that did pretty well before, Nut Job 2, only made $8 million. You would expect that to make, you know, 30 or so. But really? Nope, everybody wants horror movies.
No, see, from day one, I said Nut Job 2, nutty by nature. It should have been straight to DVD. They should have released this thing straight to home video, video on demand, not even put it in the theaters, and still it made $8.3 million. Somebody obviously knows what they're doing. So, and maybe they knew that releasing it now was a good idea. I mean, how long ago did the Nut Job come out?
Let me look that up, because I'm curious on how much that actually made. What did that make? So that came out in the Nut Job. No, just 2014.
So it's about 3 years
out.
Older.
I tell you. Yeah, and
hang on. Look that up. We're going to take a small break. Come back. We're going to break down this Nut Job numbers thing and be here with more for you, plus what's releasing this week right here on the show. This is The Mongol Show. You're listening to The Mongol Show.
And we're back with the show. Matt Mongol, Brian Kluger, talking about the Nut Job and the Nut Job 2. We're just nut jobbing around here.
Getting nutty by nature.
Oh, yes. I'm excited. So we were talking about The Nut Job and The Nut Job 2. Nut Job 2 just released, and it only made $8 million for an animated sequel. So the first film, The Nut Job, came out in 2014 and made over $120 million, which is not great, but not terrible either, considering their budget was $40 million. So it would make sense that they would make... They would make a sequel. So the sequel cost $40 million and opening weekend really didn't do anything at all. So somebody's going to get fired.
I just think the fact that they made $8 million period has got to be, I mean, we're not talking, this isn't Pixar, this isn't Disney, this isn't DreamWorks. I don't even, which studio does Nut Job?
The studio is Open Road.
Oh yeah, Open Road, which I think they even did, what was the one out in the wilderness with the bear and the deer? Didn't they do that one too? Or did they do Ice Age?
Oh, Open Road Films? I'm trying to remember. Who knows?
Anyway, I say all that to say they should be happy with that. Open Road should, releasing an animated movie, should be happy with $9 million. They surely should be happy with $100 million plus that they got on the first one. But yeah, this one, I think that 3 years have passed, too much animation going on, should have been straight to DVD. They should have asked us.
You know what? I'm looking at their releases since 2011, and their highest grossing movie is The Nut Job.
See?
Everything else is, ooh, man, it's like, wow, like looking at this, it's like they lose money on almost every movie. How are they still in business? I don't get it.
They must be owned by somebody else that's just for some reason bankrolling that. I don't know. But they got to quit putting all their nuts in one basket because that movie's not, that franchise is done.
Oh, so funny. So yeah, and like it's currently got an 11% rating on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Mostly people don't like it, which is probably, you know, we expected.
Yeah, there was no surprise there. Well, opening this week, I think the biggest surprise is The Hitman's Bodyguard, which I think is hopefully will do well at the box office. I'm not sure. Do you think that Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson and Selma Hayek, are those three names big enough to draw in a mid-August grouping to see a film?
Ryan Reynolds is not the other two. People just don't go out to see, oh, Samuel Jackson's in this movie, because he's literally in every movie. No, Ryan Reynolds is so popular, people will go out to see him. Who cares about Selma Hayek? Jesus Christ.
What? I love Selma Hayek.
I like Selma Hayek. She's hot as hell, but nobody's going to go run out to see her unless she's naked.
Wow. I don't know how, I mean, we're not even a segment and a half into the show, and you've already profiled the Glass Castle. You've already just totally, you Mad Men'd on Selma Hayek.
I
can't say those
kind
of things these days.
The director of The Hitman's Bodyguard directed The Expendables 3. Which, you know, give or take, you know, it's going to be a fun action movie. But you saw it, right?
I did see it, and
it's
liked
hilarious
it.
And fun, right?
It was. It was the most fun I've ever had in August at a movie.
So is it? It's like the character Deadpool and Jules from Pulp Fiction got together, right, and made a movie.
You know, Ryan Reynolds is always sort of Ryan Reynolds, but his character is nothing like Deadpool. He's very straight-laced. He's very focused. He's very business-minded. He owned this bodyguard business that tanked for a reason that comes out in the movie, and he's just been struggling to get his bodyguard business back up. And Samuel L. Jackson is just this hitman who just has no morals. He has morals, but he has no... Why he does what he does is very important, but he's just this hitman, goes around killing people, and... Ryan Reynolds has to protect him. Interpol is trying to get him to get Samuel L. Jackson to this court to testify against this this leader they're trying to oust. And so the only person that can get in there, because people are dying all around trying to get Samuel L. Jackson to court, and Ryan Reynolds has to be the bodyguard for this hitman. And so the two of them together, you have Samuel L. Jackson, who's just this, you know, doesn't care, kind of just flies by the seat of his pants, makes these, you know, rash decisions, and then Ryan Reynolds' character, who's very straightforward and by the book. And so the two of them together, it's a really great buddy movie. They work so well together. it kind of reminds me a little bit of Lethal Weapon, only in the fact of how the characters work together, not the storyline or anything like that, but just the dichotomy between the two characters is so fun. And a lot of action, just, you know, plot.
So is it a lot of fun with these two characters? And is there a lot of, like, the same, like, action comedy cliches that you've seen a lot, but, like, it works because of Reynolds and Jackson?
Yeah, what works with them is their conversations that they have. There's a lot of wit and a lot of humor. All the action sequences are one of those you'd say that can never happen. I mean, it's one of those where Samuel L. Jackson is flying down the water, you know, in a car or a boat or whatever he's in at the time for the scene, and there's like 20 people shooting machine guns at him, thousands of bullets, none of them hits him, and he can take a rock and ping it 20 yards into a window and knock a guy out. It's like, you know, that kind of a thing. It's like, come on, it's ridiculous. You know, you got all these hired, trained assassins that can't kill one guy, and so it's funny. But they even make fun of that in the movie, the fact that he's unkillable. And
so they're self-aware. That's good. So this movie opens up against Logan Lucky, which is another action film, right?
This was the Channing Tatum one. I guess they're bank robbers or something. I didn't see Logan Lucky. I didn't see that one or 6 Days. I only saw Hitman's Bodyguard. Did you see somebody to send somebody to see Logan Lucky?
No, I did not. And it's not anything related to the movie Logan with Wolverine. It is not. So if you're looking for that, but no, but yeah, it's directed by Steven Soderbergh, who once said he retired a long time ago, but that was, of course, hogwash.
So did the Eagles and the Stones and Led Zeppelin. They all said that too.
Exactly. So yeah, Steven Soderbergh, you know, who gave us, you know, Ocean's 11, 12, and 13. This stars Adam Driver, you know, Kylo Ren from Star Wars Force Awakens, and Channing Tatum, and out of all people, Seth MacFarlane, you know, Family Guy creator.
And there's only one of those three people that have talent. I'll let you figure out who it is.
Exactly. Well, Dwight Yoakam's in this movie, which is awesome.
Oh, we haven't seen him since Sling Blade.
It's opening up against another funny action movie. This one looks like it's more serious, whereas the other one looks like silly fun. What would you say? Like, would you say go? How would you have much fun with this one? Or
As adults, if you and I were going to go to the movie, we would go see Hitman's Bodyguard. I mean, there's bodies that are dying everywhere. I think Samuel L. Jackson sets a record for how many times he says MF in this movie. It has to be a record. Nobody's ever touched. In fact, Ryan Reynolds, even, again, being self-aware, they make fun of him saying, Ryan Reynolds is like, you've ruined that word for us. You've ruined it because you say it so much. Every single line. And so it's funny. So as a buddy film, yeah, we would have to see Hitman's Bodyguard. Like I said, there's a lot of action, humor, wit, fun. At the end of it, you're just like, that was a fun ride. That was some good times and a lot of action. And, you know, so, and Gary Oldman's in it as the bad guy. When you got Gary Oldman as a bad guy, you can't beat that either.
That's good.
Yeah, so definitely of the list, Hitman's Bodyguard would be the one to see.
And I would like to point out on Rotten Tomatoes, Logan Lucky has currently a 92% rating.
So one critic saw it.
So that's based on 65 reviews. So
I'm not saying Logan Lucky is bad. I'm not saying it's bad at all. It looks like a neat premise, but yeah. For me, Hitman's Bodyguard would be the way to go. So we're going to take a small break, come back, break down what we're watching, which I know Brian's going to have a lot to say about that, plus Blu-rays coming up as well right here on the show. This is The Mungal Show. You're listening to The Mungal Show. Welcome back to the show. Matt Mungal, Brian Kluger here with you. Of course, check me out at mungalshow.com. Brian, you can find at boomstickcomics.com plus High Def Digest. And you can check out all of his podcasts as well. The man is a plethora of entertainment, news, and wit and fun. So whatever he's tied to, you want to go check that out. And especially tech gear. If you go over to High Def Digest, check out his stuff about techs. Because, I mean, his house is just, it's brimming with stuff.
So. There's TVs, there's 4Ks, there's just coming out.
I know. He's like, yeah, I got 6 more 4Ks in the mail today. I got to check out. Like, he's got one each one. He's the only one I know that has a bathroom with like 7.1 surround with a 70-inch 4K TV while you're on
the throne. Well, when you're on the pot, you want to hear that glorious Atmos sound coming over.
You do.
So what are you watching? What are you watching current? Well, I mean, I don't need to ask that because I know you're watching horrible television.
Yeah, you and I, we agree on movies sometimes. Every now and then we agree on films. We very seldom agree on what we watch on television. Because I'm more of a Top Chef, you know, Food Network star, you know, Irons in the Fire. What's the one where they make the knives? Forged in Fire. I love all these reality shows and competition shows. Brian, not so much. So, yes, Project Runway Season 16, as we're recording this show on a Thursday, Thursday night, August 17th, kicked off Project Runway Season 16. I'm so happy about this. Heidi Klum's back, of course. Tim Gunn is the advisor. They got all these new contestants coming in. They're going to do some sewing, some fighting, some runway, some all kind of good stuff. So I'm excited about that. That's what I'm watching.
I feel like this show would be good only if
here we go.
They would get voted off and killed.
Wow. I think there's enough hate in our country right now. You're having to kill designers. These people are just trying to make a dress. And you vote them off. So they get voted off straight to Hunger Games.
Yes. And then they have the explosives around their neck and it's a whole deal.
Yeah. I don't know. I disagree. And they do get voted off every week. Whoever doesn't fill the challenge or makes something that's not good, they get voted off. So you get that part of
it. Or like have them do like eating contests or something like that. Or I don't know. Something fun, something worth watching. We don't know how you're watching this. Oh, 16 so years now.
So good. I mean, you got all these, and it's so creative what the things they have. Like, they have the unconventional challenge where they have to go to, like, you know, find stuff you would find at a pool party and make clothes out of it. And it's just great. It's very creative. It's very inspiring. These people's stories, their how they look at fashion and stuff like that. So, but other than that, something maybe closer to what you might watch. I started watching Iron Fist, the Marvel show. I had no idea who Iron Fist is, but I'm kind of digging that. Have you watched any of it?
I have not. You know what? I've only watched a couple of the superhero TV shows. There's so many.
Yes, there are.
And I have not watched this one.
So what are you watching?
So I just got done watching a brand new Netflix original television show, which I highly recommend. It is called Atypical, and it stars Jennifer Jason Leigh, you know, who you saw in The Hateful Eight,
yep.
And Michael Rapaport, which is awesome. And also Keira Gilchrist is the main person of the show, who you might have seen as the kid in It Follows. But it's kind of like a Little Miss Sunshine type of feel, in that it centers around a good family, and the son, played by Keir Gilchrist, who's 18, has high functioning autism, and he's supposed to be like the weird one of the family, but it turns out he's probably the most normal of the family, and everybody else has their own kind of secrets in kind of like a 6 feet under type of way, but not as dark as that. But it's so good. There's only eight episodes, and it's so good. So it's feel good, it's funny, it's a little dramatic here and there, but if you like Little Miss Sunshine and like Captain Fantastic, I think you're really gonna like this new show.
Yeah, I'm gonna check it out. It's on my queue to watch, and then one of the local reps she was posting about how good it was too, so I'm going to check that out. So,
and if you haven't seen Ozark yet on Netflix, wow, it is very, very similar to Breaking Bad, and it's with Jason Bateman and Laura Linney, and it is about Jason Bateman, who actually becomes employed by the Mexican cartel to launder their money, and they go to the Ozark in the Midwest to do it, and it is very Breaking Bad style and very good. See, and Jason Bateman actually directs the show.
I never watched Breaking Bad.
What? It's one of the best shows ever made.
I know. I came to school late on that one and didn't get a chance to start watching it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, because you're busy watching stuff like Project Runway.
But I like uplifting stuff. You know, like, I would rather watch the Spring Baking Championship on Food Network than I would Breaking Bad.
Okay, so you really, I promise you, there's been two seasons of this. Download Viceland and watch F That's Delicious.
See? All right, well, I'm going to put that at the bottom of the list, but I will get to it eventually. Thank you. We're going to take a small break, come back with Blu-ray news, DVDs, tech talk, all kind of stuff right here on the show. This is The Mungle Show. You're listening to The Mungle Show.
And welcome back, and we're having a good time. Brian Kluger, Matt Mungle here with our weekly amazing, fun, great-smelling show where we're really differing on opinions this episode.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. But we've talked about film. We've talked about Netflix. We've talked about stuff we're watching. But you know what? We're also going to talk about stuff that you can watch in your home theater on your 4K player, your Blu-ray player, or your DVD player because we like to talk about all the stuff that's coming home to you in this week, the August 22nd. There is tons of stuff. So I hope you've been saving your money because there's literally like 153 things to buy.
I only have three. Week. My list has three.
I bet it does.
This is why you have this segment.
This is why. All right. So the big movie of the week for sure is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. There's tons of exclusives if you buy it at Target, Best Buy, or Walmart. There's a 4K edition, which you'll get the 4K, the Blu-ray, and the digital copy. And there's some fun extras on it. There's a good commentary with James Gunn, you know, a 40-minute four-part behind the scenes, which is pretty good, that covers visual effects and everything. And there's a gag reel. There's that fun viral music video with David Hasselhoff that was shot a la 1970s. So yeah, that is the big one. You can own Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which really seemed like it was just released like in theaters a couple weeks ago.
Well, it came out 1st of May, but then it stayed till mid-June. So we were talking about it on the box office till almost July. So it really does feel like it just left theaters.
Yeah. So, but now you can own it. It is on every format and you're going to like it because it looks glorious. And this marks Disney's first entrance to the 4K realm. Awesome. So yeah, and it looks great. It really looks good. Looks realistic. Colors are boosted. It's amazing. Do it. Two other really good ones are coming out. Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 2 from Stars. Oh my God, if you haven't seen Ash vs. Evil Dead and you're a fan of the Evil Dead or Army of Darkness series of movies, you're going to love this show. It's amazing, hilarious, and super gross. There is a scene where Ash, Bruce Campbell, gets sucked through somebody's anus. And there's a Prince Albert involved. I mean, it's just so good. But highly, highly recommended.
You would.
Also, yes, I would. Also, Walking Dead complete 7th season comes out, and it is crazy amazing as far as extras go. There's so many behind the scenes of how they did all the makeup and stunts and story and everything. It's a really good watch. So highly recommended on that. As well as La Poison, the Criterion release. We have Criterion. La Poison is a French film, which is amazing. And it's about a married couple that's not so happy who try to kill each other. And so much fun. So much fun. A good movie. I like it. You should see humor. It. You're going to love it. It's a very dark comedy, but it is funny. Let's see. Supergirl from Warner Brothers.
Yep.
Supergirl's second season is coming out. Sid and Nancy Criterion Blu-ray. Holy God, amazing. Jessica Jones complete first season comes out. I mean,
there's some other,
what else are you going to do?
Marvel, you're going to buy coming out. Isn't there another one coming out? Lucifer comes out, right? I guess Lucifer's not really
Lucifer second season. Yes, Lucifer. I don't know how many people watched Lucifer though.
I don't either, but it's DC, so I guess somebody does.
Correct. Did you ever see the movie Kill Switch?
No. Wait. No, I did
with
not.
With Dan Stevens?
No, they all sent right. me a I link and I never got a chance to watch it.
Yeah, so that comes out if you were a fan of the movie. But the big ones this week are definitely Walking Dead, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Ash vs. Evil Dead, and then Sid and Nancy and La Poison Criterion. Oh my God. Oh, Daredevil second season comes out. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So if you want it on Blu-ray, you're going to get that too. And there's just so much.
Yeah, especially if you're into that superhero realm. And sci-fi action, there's a lot. Now, if you're not into that, if you want more drama, I guess everything is still out. I mean, that came out last week. A lot. We didn't talk about it last week on the show, but everything is kind of a teen drama based on a book that's out. Did you see King Arthur? Is King Arthur out now? Legend of the Sword, the new one.
Did King Arthur already come out? I don't remember if King Arthur already come out. I don't think so.
I thought it did.
Maybe it did.
Let me check my notes.
King Arthur. But
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, it debuted August 8th. It came out last week.
Oh, well, you know.
I don't know why we didn't talk about it.
Nobody seemed to notice.
Yeah. So, yeah, King Arthur, that, and that's the one with
Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah, but who's the other guy? The other guy I really like. Like, not that
Guy
I don't
Ritchie?
Like Charlie.
Who directed
it's,
Guy
yeah,
Ritchie?
Directed by Guy Ritchie, but it's got, oh my gosh.
Who?
I'm about to look what? It up now. Jude
Who
Law?
Else
is it
is
Jude
it
Law in this?
Jude Law, yes.
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 You're disagreeing. You don't know if he's in it or not.
Eric Bana's in it? Digimon Hansu?
Digimon Hansu's in it? Are you just, yeah. you just naming names now, or you know this for sure?
No, he's in the movie. Nobody noticed because nobody saw this movie. It was a terrible, terrible... If you want to talk about movies that bombed, this movie. There you go.
I don't know. I'm excited about it, though. I haven't watched it yet. I just got it. And that's weird, too, that it came out last week, but I just got it. Maybe that's why we didn't talk about it. Maybe they were late sending it.
Well, I mean, this if you were at the stores this week, you would probably pick up Alien Covenant because that was the big one this right. week.
Yeah, that's probably true. Before.
But other than that, I mean, this coming week, really, I mean, even Barton Fink's going to be on Blu-ray. It's just crazy this week. And then next week, there's a bunch of stuff. I mean, for the end of the year, it's just going to be crazy amounts of Blu-rays and 4Ks coming out. And
that's good because there's nothing coming in the theater. I mean, when you look over the next couple of weeks and Leap is the big film that we have to talk about over the next 2 or 3 weeks, you know we need something else. So, yeah, I think Blu-rays and DVDs are going to be more exciting over the next couple of
because
weeks.
Because it's all the summer movies coming out again.
Right, right. And a lot of Netflix stuff like Riverdale season one. Did you watch Riverdale based on the Archie's comic? It was kind of a dark twist on that.
Riverdale's a very kind of like a very dark version of Archie and Betty and Veronica and all of that stuff. Yeah. So
that season one is out now. So there's a lot of stuff to watch. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to go buy DVDs. Everything's digital now. So
you can rent it or it's on Netflix or whatever. I mean, if you rent something on Vudu or iTunes or Amazon, it's literally $3.99 or $4.99 to rent for like 24 or 48 hours. Or you can buy it for, you know, $15 or a little bit more if you want the 4K version. But then you could just buy the regular disc. But yeah, it's all out there with all the TVs and all the 4K players and your Xbox and your PS4 and your Blu-ray players. Most of these units come with like... it smart-wise, meaning you can have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and all of those stuff to get all these movies on. So even on your phone, you can do it. It's crazy.
It's crazy. We'll take a break, come back, and talk about more right here on the show. This is The Mungle Show. You're listening to The Mungle Show. Welcome back to the show. I'm glad that was a short break. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Yes, I do. I finally remembered I had to have a shot of whiskey, but we're good now.
Well, it is noon.
It is noon. Yes. So we're talking about all these streaming devices. We have to bring up. So there's so many streaming devices. People are cutting the cords of their cable packages and doing streaming. But now we heard that Disney is taking all of their movies and TV shows off of Netflix in 2019 because they're going to have their own streaming service that you're going to have to pay for, which could be awesome and could be terrible.
But that's so Disney. Disney has always done that. Disney doesn't follow suit. I mean, I was surprised when I started getting Disney movies with the digital copy, and they would actually sync with Ultraviolet that I use for Vudu. I was really surprised that Disney even went that far, because before, if it wasn't a Disney site or a Disney subscription, you couldn't watch anything. So I'm not surprised.
Well, I mean, Netflix people pay, you know, $7-$8 for, and for a company to take theirs off and put it on something else, it really sucks. But Disney has such a huge catalog of films and television shows and cartoons that it would totally be worth it only if they put their entire catalog on their own streaming site, like all the old Mickey cartoons, all the old Pluto cartoons from the 30s and 40s and 50s. Everything that has not been released through Disney, like, you know, Song of the South, you know, even though it's kind of like a racial film, that's never been released. It would be awesome. I mean, because if they only take the shows off of Netflix and put them just those shows and movies on their own site, what's the point in getting them? I am not happy with that. They have to have an enticing appeal to pay for it.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, if Disney's going to do something, it needs to be all Disney, where I pay, like you said, I pay a subscription. I can watch everything. And now that, especially that Disney has the Star Wars franchise, we want to see all those movies as they
come out. Well, of course. Yeah, so that's why I think, I mean, that'll be their big gets. Like, here's Star Wars, here's Marvel, here's Lucasfilms, here it is. But then, oh my God, you have this whole thing where nothing has been released on Blu-ray yet, or, you know, those Walt Disney treasures that are, you know, hundreds of dollars to buy on eBay, where they would have them digitally finally and in, like, great condition. And that would be enticing to go back and watch all those, you know, Steamboat Willie and all the cartoons that you loved. Yeah, so that would be worth it.
Yeah, I'm like you. I don't want to pay a subscription and get Lady and the Tramp and Brother Bear 2. I don't want to get that. I want more than that.
Exactly.
I don't want to just get that. And like you said, only what's on Netflix. So maybe they're thinking about that. Maybe they're going to put the whole entire Disney catalog, which may include Pixar. I mean, do they put the Pixar stuff on there?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, because that's Disney and Pixar together. So if they can do it, they do it. So,
well, I hope you're right. I don't mind paying a subscription for something if it's got some meat behind it. So we'll have to see. I mean, we got 2 years, year and a half before that actually happens, so it's not too bad. Well, some other news that I kind of wanted to just throw out here. We're going to hit these in bullet points and get your opinion on them. Emma Stone dethroned Jennifer Lawrence as world's highest paid actress, banking $26 million pre-tax in Forbes' 12-month scoring period. Obviously, that had to do with La La Land, I guess, and the fact that Jennifer Lawrence really didn't do anything.
You think? I mean, I just don't think anybody wants to work with Jennifer Lawrence anymore.
Well, I think they kind of burned her out, and I'm hoping they don't do that with some of the other new upcoming actresses.
No,
like
I think
Brie
she
Larson.
Came out and was like, you know, all the pay equality and all that stuff, and nobody wants to get into that. I like Emma Stone more than I like Jennifer Lawrence. Actually, I don't really like Jennifer Lawrence at all. I like Emma Stone, though.
I like them both for different reasons. I don't dislike one or like one. I mean, you could have put Jennifer Lawrence. Well, I wouldn't have seen Jennifer Lawrence in La La Land because we have seen her a lot. I kind of want to see her back off a little bit. But there's been some stuff like even Brie Larson has done that I think Jennifer Lawrence could do and vice versa. I think there's a lot of them that they're equal to the task. So I don't know. I don't have a problem either one. But I think now that I think about it, I think maybe La La Land had a lot to do with Emma Stone. I mean, $26 million over a year pre-tax, that's not bad.
And Emma Stone just seems like a cool person.
She does.
You know,
she does.
But Jennifer Lawrence doesn't. Yeah. So I'm happy with this. But
another news, the lowest paid actor in Hollywood made $27 million over the last 12 months. So I'm just kidding.
Well,
that's a joke.
There you go. No, yeah, absolutely. I
agree
with
hack off
that.
Jennifer Lawrence. The highest paid actress made less than the lowest paid actor in Hollywood.
There you go. Let's talk about poor Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he's going to be out 8 weeks with a damaged ankle.
Tom Cruise is like 68 years old, and he is
You always round way up.
He's making Mission Impossible 34, and he's... He's still doing his own stunts, which, I mean, go Tom Cruise, but I mean, we're really going to need you on set to make more movies. And if this North Korean thing escalates, we're going to need your help. So heal quickly, sir.
And just to clarify Brian's numbers, Tom Cruise is 55 and this is Mission Impossible 6. So
it's the same thing.
It's not the same thing. Yeah, he's out 8 weeks on a hiatus, so we might have to wait to get Mission Impossible 6, and I don't know.
We got Mission Impossible 6. It was called The Mummy.
Well, when does The Mummy come out on Blu-ray? I was going to mention that last segment. When does that come out? Because that's one of the only summer films other than maybe Pirates that hasn't really gotten a release date yet, has it?
I'm not sure. Has it? I'm going to look right now to see if it has. The Mummy 2017.
While Brian's looking that up, I want to mention another thing that I thought was interesting. The picture of Dorian Gray, St. Vincent, is going to direct a female-led film adaptation, which I think is interesting. And Daniel Craig confirmed he's back as 007, which I'm excited about. In the 25th
which is
gonna Bond. Which Brian calls the 109th
so
Bond movie.
All right, so September 12th is when The Mummy comes out.
Oh, that's not bad.
On Blu-ray. But let's talk about, for a second, Daniel Craig and James Bond.
I wish we could, but this segment's over. So let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk some wrestling and let Brian fume about Daniel Craig just a little bit. I'm excited that Daniel Craig is back. I was a little bit worried. We're going to take a small break, come back with more right here on the show. This is The Mungle Show. You're listening to The Mungle Show. Welcome back to the show. Matt Mungle, Brian Kluger here with you. Again, check me out at mungleshow.com. Brian, you can find at highdefdigest.com and, of course, boomstickcomics.com. As we're getting ready to do some wrestling news, but in the last segment we were talking about the fact that Daniel Craig is going to return as Agent 007 in the upcoming 25th Bond film. You not happy about that, dude?
So the last film they did was so terrible, awful, one of the worst movies.
That was one of my favorite
made.
Bond films, the last one. That opening sequence with him running and the buildings falling and Javier Bardem as the bad guy.
No.
Was that not right?
Am I thinking wrong, that's Skyfall, sir.
Who was the bad guy in this one?
It was what's his name? The guy from Glorious Bastards, Christoph Waltz.
Oh yeah, that movie was horrible.
Yes, it was. And Daniel Craig has said numerous times that he does not want to. He'd rather cut off his own leg than do another Bond movie.
Then they showed
so
him
now
check.
He's doing Bond again, and Daniel Craig was awesome, and he is awesome. He just doesn't want to do it anymore. And the last Bond film was just so bad it left a terrible taste in my mouth.
Wait, no. Spectre was the last one. Spectre wasn't bad.
Spectre was terrible.
It wasn't as good as Skyfall. Skyfall was great.
Skyfall was amazing.
Spectre was horrible, but Spectre had a horrible theme song, too.
Spectre was just terrible all around everything, and now we're getting another one. And it seems like every year it's like Bond is in trouble with, like, MGM or something. I don't know. Nobody cares. Just do something. I don't care.
It's a great franchise.
It's going to come out, and it's going to be horrible.
All right. Well, if you say so, I'm excited about it. I'm excited because I was up in the air on who should be. I was cool with Idris Elba becoming a Bond guy.
I love Idris Elba.
Yeah. So, but I'm not disappointed that Daniel Craig's coming back because I like him better than I ever did Roger Moore or Pierce Brosnan or any of those other guys as Bond.
Blast
Timothy Dalton. Any of those.
T-Dalt
as Bond. No.
Didn't I get you that picture of Sean Connery signed by Roger Moore one time?
No.
Oh, well, that was somebody else.
Well, I'm glad you thought of me.
Let's talk about wrestling,
SummerSlam coming up here in a couple days.
Yeah, SummerSlam, August 20th, 2017, Brooklyn, New York at the Barclays Center, one of the biggest WWE pay-per-views ever. Oh, my gosh. The big matches are going to be Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe versus Braun Strowman in a fatal four-way match for the Universal Championship. If Brock Lesnar loses his championship, he will leave the WWE. Oh, my. Also, Jinder Mahal versus Shinsuke Nakamura, the King of Strong Style for the WWE Championship, will be happening for the United States Championship. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens with Shane McMahon. You know what? I think a lot of titles are going to change hands this time. I really do. Already did this past week on Raw and SmackDown. They had basically the Cruiserweight Championship match, and Akira Tozawa took the championship from Neville, who's had the championship, the Cruiserweight title, for months and months and months and months. So now Akira is the champion now, and I guess at SummerSlam during the pre-show, they're going to have their rematch. Interesting, right?
It is interesting.
You're going to have the two Big Show and Big Cast fight each other, which will be a very slow match. However, it's going to be hard hitting. And then poor little Enzo Amore, who weighs like 100 pounds, is going to be suspended in a shark cage above this match, which means that most likely Enzo's going to jump down, or Enzo's going to give Big Show or Big Cass, who knows, is going to turn heel, brass knuckle or a kendo stick, who knows, he's hiding. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt, the Demon versus Demon. That's going to be crazy. John Cena is going to be there.
John
Cena! So, and Alexis Bliss versus Sasha Banks. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Are the lantern guys going to be there? They're my favorite from WrestleMania. Who? The guys that come out with the lanterns when it gets dark.
That's Bray Wyatt. Your Fireflies. So Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt.
Oh, so he's okay. I might rent it. All right, dude. Well, we'll catch y'all later again. MungleShow.com. Check out what's going on there. Plus BoomstickComics.com and High Def Digest for all the great stuff. And we'll be back next week right here on The Big Show. This is The Mungle Show.